If you have your Bibles with you, what I want you to do is just turn to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read some other scriptures from that, but we're just really going to have you turn to that. I'm going to unpack the majority of that as we move along. But as I shared with you at the very beginning of this message, today really felt like it was time to give a charge for you to move into hope. That there's been lots of things that we've been undergoing during this quarantine time frame, and I really do believe that this time for the body of Christ, one of the ways that the Lord has used this has been able to get his children to stop their busyness and learn how to press into him and to get their rest from him. And what rest looks like, rest means that it's not the cessation from activity, but rest is really me ceasing to be my own source. It's stopping from me being the root of how I'm going to succeed or what type of energy I can bring or what type of hope I can bring to the equation or even if it could be from my job or it could be from other circumstances. If you get your source of life, if in the context today is one with hope, if you get your hope from anything other than Jesus, then it's not a real hope. And what I feel like the Lord has been doing in this time frame is he's been reorienting us back into this place of what it means to enter into his rest while we're here on the planet. For a lot of people, when they read the scriptures, and what they'll see is they'll enter into their rest, and the first thing that comes to mind is, oh, it'll be so nice when I go to heaven. It'll be so nice when I die and I'm absent from this circumstances and I can get to heaven and I can rest finally. And there's an absolute truth to that. But the challenge we must not fall prey to is this. We must not fall prey to the trick that I put off for later what the Lord wants me to experience now. And what we end up doing is when we don't understand circumstances or situations, we often push off the good things of God, the promises of God, to a far-off, distant future instead of saying, yes, that is true. That is for an eternal hope. That's for an eternal rest that I will experience. But how many people know the moment you became born again, eternity began for you? God does not live inside time and space. He created time and space. But he does not live according to time and space, and he's not bound by time and space. So for him, eternity is always now. Yesterday is now. Tomorrow is now. It's all eternal for him because he's the eternal God. And so what we have to look into is the promises of God that he's given us is, yes, there is a far-off future, and there are some things that we are looking forward to the future. Like, for example, a glorified body. I can look forward to that I'll spend eternity with him. But at the same time, he placed a deposit of the Holy Spirit within me so that I might experience, I might access the fullness of my salvation now. There are things that it's not okay for me to push off to a future time. And what I do is then all of a sudden I come into hopelessness. I come up into frustration. I come into anxiety or fear. And what is that? Why do we enter into these things? It's because what we're doing is we're deferring our hope to a future time. There was a part of this congressional bill which said, hey, with your mortgage, you could defer your payments until later. It means basically like a forbearance. You don't have to pay your regular payment now until this whole thing's over. But you're going to have to still pay it later. You were just pushing off to later what you actually had a responsibility for now. And on the flip side of it, what we do is we push off the promises of the goodness of God to a future day of what we actually have a responsibility to steward now. You have a responsibility. I have a responsibility as a born-again believer to steward hope, to steward the life that's given God's given me now. And that means then it really is important for me to live in hope, to declare hope. And I just wrote this down. Anywhere I don't have hope, Jesus is not the center of it. Anywhere that you don't have hope, that means that Jesus is not at the center of it. See, Jesus is meant to be the center of it all. Okay? So if you are finding hope, and what I would say is it's really wishful circumstances thinking. Or is this? A lot of times what hope is, it's not with an evil heart or an evil intention. What we end up doing is this. we say, I really hope I can pay my bills. I really can hope that I can raise my kids right. I really hope I can love my spouse the way they deserve to be loved. I really hope that I can be a witness for Jesus. I really hope. And it's not really hope that we're talking about. It's actually a prayer that's offered up from a position of lack. What I'm saying is I feel the lack of the ability to be a good father, or to be a good son, or to be a good parent, or to be a good employee, or to be a good witness of God. And I wrap that up inside this language. I just hope it will work out. No, we're supposed to have confidence. What biblical hope is, it's confident expectation of God's goodness. Real biblical hope is a confident expectation that God is who he says he is, that he will do what he says he will do always. And here's the thing I think is really good. It might be something I teach on later on, but a part of that same message I heard this week really was impactful for me because what the pastor said was this: we cannot separate God's capacity from his care or his character. And often what happens is we run into a circumstance that doesn't feel very good, and we're going, oh man, I'm kind of shaken. I know God is capable of taking care of the circumstance, but he hasn't. And what ends up happening is it enters into my heart. That must mean he doesn't care about me. And what we have to do is we first have to start and begin with who he is. And from that place of who he is, his care comes into his capability. So that means if he's not doing something that I don't understand why he's not doing it right now, I don't have the right to be able to say, well, that must mean he doesn't care. Because God is not fickle. He doesn't go back and forth. He's not dualistic. He is always good. He is always loving. He is always kind. He's always merciful. He's always just. All the time. That's who God is. That's his character. And so when we talk about biblical hope, what we're saying is this: biblical hope is not, I wonder if the circumstance is finally going to end. It'd really be nice. Ooh, I can sweat this thing off and I can move into this place of peace because the circumstance is entered into. No, what he's saying is, regardless if the circumstance has ended, regardless if COVID has stopped, and I would just say this, I love our nation. I absolutely love our nation. Those people who know me know that I have such a profound respect and love for our Constitution. I'm so grateful for our forefathers that had the foresight and had the vision to be able to establish a nation on the planet that has been a carrier of freedom and what the world has never seen before, a carrier of economic blessings that the world has never seen before. It's absolutely amazing. I'm so grateful that they understood that if somebody who wasn't ruled by God actually got in charge of a country, that they put these Bill of Rights in place in order to be able to guarantee that the document would guarantee our rights, not man and whoever was in the ruler at the time. It had nothing to do. They had such an incredible foresight. So I absolutely love it. I believe in the Constitution. I absolutely love it. But here's what I'm seeing right now. The Lord is shaking things up, and what he's trying to reveal in the hearts of men is, do you trust in me? Do you have your hope placed in me? Or is your hope in a document? Is your hope in a set of principles? Or is your hope in him? Let me tell you this right now. We've got friends who minister in some of the hardest places in the world. And what they've told me, and I agree with it, said there is no political or economic solution to the problems faced, whether that be in the Middle East or that be in China or that be anywhere else. There is no political or economic solution. The only solution is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because it's when his kingdom comes, a higher kingdom comes and begins to transform things, that real hope is released into the planet. And here's what I sense. The Lord was checking my heart on that this week. He goes, where are you placing your hope in? And I go, well, it's in you, Lord. He goes, okay, so if, and he just started to lay off some scenarios, if these took place, if all of a sudden the government in the United States started becoming this way, would that disrupt your hope? And I have to be real and answer with you. There was a moment where I go, man, it's something in my heart that goes, I didn't realize how much of my hope was placed in the fact of the system of government I've lived in, this freedom I've taken for granted. I go, no, Lord, even if that happened, I would not lose my hope. because I would still have confident hope. And here's what I know. The early church did not live underneath the Constitution of the United States. And yet they exploded and they grew and they had great favor. If within a short period of time, the Roman Empire actually became Christianized. Why? Because their hope wasn't in the government of man. Their hope was in the kingdom of heaven coming down. I look at what happens right now in Iran. The fastest growing movement of God in the planet is in the nation of Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. And yet the gospel is exploding on this. Why? Because hope is placed in him. Hope is not placed in a governmental system or solution. Now, does that mean I'm not going to fight for the type and steward the system that we have? Absolutely, I'm going to steward the system that we have, but it must not be because that's my source of hope. My source of hope is not found in doctors to find solutions. My source of hope is not in economists to figure out how to reopen the economy. My source of hope is found in him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's where our hope must be in first. Here's the thing. When our hope is in him, then the solutions of heaven are made available to us so that we can become an answer for the problems that the world is facing. We can become counselors. And you think about this. Joseph had a relationship with the Lord where he had the heart of the heaven, and then he was able to go and influence Pharaoh, a natural economic disaster that was taking place or would take place in the future in Egypt. God gives Pharaoh this dream, but he gives the solution, the understanding of the solution to Joseph, who advised the one in power. And Pharaoh was not a believer in God. He was a pagan. You go also to Daniel, who is ripped out of his family's life, out of Israel, when Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon comes and it takes over Israel. And many of his family is probably in constant labor camps, and they were either still back in Israel trying to suffer, or they were actually brought to Babylon, or they were killed during that time frame. And Daniel and his friends were brought into this place to serve the pagan king that did that to their family. And yet they understood, not found in whether Nebuchadnezzar does the right thing or not. Our hope is found in King, in Yahweh. He is the Lord of all. And because of that, they were the most wise. They had solutions and answers. And Nebuchadnezzar and the officials recognized the wisdom that Daniel operated in. And they came and they made them advisors across the kingdom. Why? Because their hope was not rooted in man's kingdoms. It was not rooted in the kingdoms of this world. It was rooted in the kingdom of heaven. And how much more for us who live in this planet today are we called to steward the responsibility that God has given us to be ambassadors of Christ, to be ambassadors of the kingdom. And whether you're called to government, you're called to education, or you're called to business, or you're called to the family, or you're called to church, or you're called to any of these spheres of influence, arts and entertainment or media, if you're called to that, the only way you're going to be an influence in those areas is when you're going to make God your source of life and God your source of hope, because the message that you bring is going to be a message of hope. I believe it was Bill Johnson that said, he who has the most hope has the most influence. He who has the most hope has the most influence. Look at the election back in 2008. Barack Obama comes on with a message of hope. And it doesn't matter really what took place. The point is this. When he brought a message of hope, it stirred into the hearts of people because they were tired of the same old thing. Now, what I will tell you is his message of hope was rooted still in the kingdoms of this world. It wasn't rooted in the kingdom of heaven. But what if a people who were called by his name were so quick and busy to quote 2 Chronicles 7:14 and say, hey, if my people are called by my name, would turn away from their wicked ways, they would just draw near to me, they would humble themselves, they would repent, I would come heal the land. And here's the thing, I think we spend so much time looking at all the negativity that's taken place, and certainly there's something about representative repentance that says, man, this bad thing has taken place, Lord, and we ask your forgiveness of it. But what I want to say is this, we live in a new covenant where we can take what Jesus paid for on the cross. He paid for it already. And what we do is we bring the solution of heaven, the blood of Jesus, and we actually apply it to that situation. So it's transformed. It's not just about saying, hey, we're going to turn away from a wicked way. We're called to actually transform the wicked ways of the world through the gospel of the kingdom. We're called to bring radical transformation. It's not going to just be found with you saying, oh, that was a bad thing. I can recognize it's a bad thing. No, repentance is, do you begin to think like God thinks? Do you begin to feel like he feels? Do you begin to move with the heart that the Father moves? And the only way that you're going to do that is if your hope is found in him. A hope is found in him. So if your hope is not rooted in Jesus, then it's not really hope. Any area of your life, and this is what I want to challenge you today is, and I know this is going to be challenging. I want you to examine your life. I want you to examine your thought processes. I want you to examine your belief systems. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit this question. Why the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's the one that will lead you into all truth. He's the one that will convict you about what is right. He will draw you into a place of what is right. And here's the deal. Is there any thought process? Is there any belief system that's not rooted in Jesus as my hope? Because if Jesus is not at the center of it, then it's not real hope. And what you need is you need hope in that area. It's about surrender to his lordship. Let me read this verse, Colossians 1:27. God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth. Let me hear you say glorious wealth. I mean, come on, glorious wealth. That means that there's an extravagance. We sang that song earlier. There's an extravagance to this type of relationship with God. He is not lacking. It's not a poverty gospel that we're bringing. And I'm not talking about finances right now. I'm just talking about the extravagance of the relationship that comes with him. And here's this. He wanted to make known to the Gentiles. In other words, he wanted to make known to the unbelieving world the glorious wealth of this mystery. What is that mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. It does not say Christ in you, the wishful thinking that something good will turn out of this whole mess. That's not hope. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And not just for a future time. For the now, there is a hope and a glory now that God wants to bring into the planet. And it would be wrong for us to push off to a future date something that God wants to bring now. And he's looking throughout the planet and says, who is ready to fill the earth with my glory as the waters cover the earth? Who? He's looking for you, for hope to rise up inside of you, for God to become your source of hope, so much so that it would overflow out of your life. And from the overflow, the hope of glory begin to overflow out of your life, and it would begin to infiltrate and touch every aspect of society. God is wanting to move in this age, and he's looking for a people. But here's the thing. The reason this divine pause was so important is, as long as your hope is found in a man-made situation, you will never, ever be able to bring the fullness of his kingdom everywhere you go. He wants to do that. And we're going, man, God, I'm ready for this quarantine to end. And I'm thinking he's going, hey, guys, I'm ready for you to really make me the Lord of your life. I'm really wanting you to understand that I'm a good father. I'm really wanting you to enter into agreement with the fact that I'm always good. I'm never mean. I'm always good. All the plans I have for you are to give you a hope in a future. He's always building for the future, but it begins in the now of me coming into agreement with this truth of his hope. Romans 15, 13. Man, this verse right here blew me away. 15, 13 in the Holman Christian Standard says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you may, listen to this, overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me read that again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. What's he filling you with? Not a feeling, not emotion. He's filling you with himself. The God of all hope is the God of all joy. The God of all hope is also the Prince of Peace. What he's filling you with is himself. And the only way he can fill you with himself is if he is your only source. If you are segmenting off a part of your heart and say, okay, 60% of my life, God, you can fill with your joy and your hope. And this other 40%, I've segmented off. I've fragmented it off. So this part's got this and this part's got that. No, he wants all of you. He wants to fill all of you. And these areas that you segmented off, these areas of your heart that you fragmented off and you've reserved them for another, it's time to let go of that reservation and it's time to give him all of you. So that may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you might overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you what I've heard a lot of is the overflowing of worry, the overflowing of anxiety, the overflow of man's solutions. I've heard that even from God's people. I've heard that. And remember, Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. So if right now, I want you to hear me on this. If you've ever had a thought that was contrary to his thoughts, I'm not saying you should be condemned by that. Not at all. What I'm saying is, bring it into alignment with him. It's an opportunity for you to give a revelation of his goodness in this moment. It's an opportunity for you to come into this place of going, oh my gosh, that area, oh, I can totally give it over to God right now. Because he wants to overflow out of your life. You may hope in him. The God of hope fills you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me read this portion out of the Amplified Version, that same verse, Romans 15:13. May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing, and listen to what it says, through the experience of your faith, belief, experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. See, people who have hope actually have an answer. And anywhere I don't have hope, Jesus is not at the center of it, which means he's looking for you to surrender that to him so that he can fill you with his hope. So where is your hope placed in? Where's your hope placed in? Is it in your job? Is it in the Constitution of the United States? Is it in the fact, and I'm this might ruffle some feathers, and so I'm not trying to stir up stuff, but maybe I am. Is your hope that doctors will figure this thing out? Is your hope that in pharmaceutical companies that they'll figure this thing out? Is your hope even in saying, well, I don't want a vaccine, I want to do it the natural? Is your hope in natural homeopathic solutions to this thing? I'm not saying it's wrong to gain some stuff from that. What I'm saying is if your source of hope is found in those things, but it's not found in him, then it's actually not real hope. Is your hope found in your spouse and your spouse's ability to love you or not? Is it in your kids' ability to behave or not, or to learn during this time? Is your hope, is your peace, is it found purely in circumstances being good or bad? And what I'm saying is it's time to really get hope. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for, let me hear you say what we hope for. Faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. So what ends up happening is we're given this promise. What's the promise? Not that God's going to do something, that God is something. Our hope is not found that God's going to do something, because that would still be circumstantial. Our hope isn't found in who he is. And so we have this promise of who he is. So now faith is confidence that what I hope for in God will actually happen. It gives me assurance about things that I cannot see. It means if I don't see the way through the circumstance, if I don't see the way, the path, but I do know him, I do know his character, I do know his nature, I'm going to trust in that. My hope is in that, in who he is. Let me read it out of the Amplified Version. Now faith is the assurance. Listen to what it says. The confirmation in the title deed. Your faith is a title deed of the things that we hope for, being proof, the proof of things we do not see, the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Let me read that again. It's really important to understand. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction or the convincing of their reality. What's the reality? Faith perceiving as real fact what's not revealed to the senses. In other words, I believe that God is always good, but when I'm going through a trial circumstance, it doesn't feel good. And what I'm telling you is, it would be wrong for me to say because the circumstance doesn't feel good, that must therefore mean that God's character is not good. And we cannot tie those together. What we need to realize is, no, I know God's good. He cares for me. He's working all things out. So my hope, my trust is in him. And even if I can't see how that's playing itself out right now, I'm actually going to place my hope not in the circumstance playing itself out, but actually in the Lord I know. And that's where I activate by faith. Let me read this out of the New Application, Life Application Testament Covenant, New Testament Commentary. We often think of the word hope in terms of uncertain desire. I hope it doesn't rain on Saturday. But for believers, hope is a desire based on assurance, and the assurance is based on God's character. So your assurance is based on his character. My hope is built on the evidence of God's character, which never fails. He's always consistent. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Real hope is never built on life circumstances. It's never built on experiences. It's never built on emotions. It's never built on the opinion of others or your own opinion. It's only built on God's character. And thank God for that. Because if it was built on things that are up and down, up and down, up and down, what kind of hope would that be? Then we would have an anxious faith, we wouldn't have a confident hope. But we're not called to be anxious. Don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. What's prayer do? It reconnects me back into the character of who he is when circumstances feel like this. It's still hope and confident expectation in his goodness, only on his character. Jeremiah 17:5-8. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. Let me stop here before I read the rest of it. Before you hear this verse and say, oh, see, there's God. He's condemning, he's cursing people who don't believe in him. No, that's not what it says. Remember last week we talked about this. What made Adam alive was God was his direct source for life. It was the breath of God inside of him. God was his absolute source. The moment that Adam disconnected God as his source of life and connected himself into the world or knowledge for life is when he began to die. If you plant a tree in salt water and it's not designed for salt water, but instead it's designed for fresh water, it's not going to thrive. It's not going to survive. And pretty soon you're going to have a deserted land. It's going to be a stunted shrub in the desert. And what this is saying is anyone who puts their trust in mere humans, anyone who puts their hope and their trust in anyone other than God as their source of life has already disconnected themselves from the source of life. It's not God all of a sudden saying, well, I'm not going to give you what you need. It's us disconnecting from him. And when we disconnect from him, I can't receive from him if I'm not connected to him. And so because of that, when I put my trust, when I put my hope, I'm actually connecting my hope to something that cannot produce life. If I rely on my human strength, if I rely on my ability to understand things, I'm actually turning away from the Lord. And then I will be stunted. I will be like in a desert with no hope or a future. But listen to what it says, verse 7. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord, and listen to what it says, and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. Let me read that again. What a powerful verse. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and the Lord their confidence. So my question for you this morning is this. Have you made the Lord God, Jesus Christ, your hope and your confidence? Have you made Jesus your hope and your confidence? Look at the fruit of it. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. What do we do during this time of this quarantine where work, where we might have gotten identity from what we do, or school, and we got this ability for somebody else to educate our kids and kind of pull away. Like all these different things begin to shift in our life. What was happening? He's saying, hey, will you draw into me so I can source you, so I can bring you life and so I can make you to thrive. It says, blessed are those who trust in the Lord, have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Did you just hear what I said? If you're connected to God as your source, what the invitation is, I know experientially we're still kind of coming through this. There's times that I don't feel like the tree planted by the river and that, man, that I'm not bothered by the heat or circumstances. But let me tell you, that is the invitation. And I can tell you right now, circumstances do not bother me like they used to. And to be real frank, during this quarantine, I have felt a level of peace that I've, because, and I'm watching the world kind of go crazy around me. I'm going, Lord, but I feel so secure in you. And he goes, because your hope is in me. Your hope is in me. This is the fruit. This is the invitation of being connected to me. Look what it says again. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Why? Because their hope and confidence is built on God's character, not their circumstances. God is your source. And so what I just want to tell you this. There's a part of me that wants to bring comfort. And I think that's true because God's a God of all comfort as well. But I feel in my heart that I need to challenge you. And it's because I believe in you. It's because I believe so much in what God's wanting to do. I believe that this is such a gospel of hope that it would not be loving for me to tell you, it's just going to be okay. If you remain disconnected from him, it'll work all out. No, it won't. Now's the time. No condemnation. If you've been walking that way, don't let shame or guilt or condemnation come and speak to you. What I'm saying is, take the invitation. Will you join me? And following him? Will you join me in plugging into him as our source of life, our source of hope, so that we can produce life, so that the heat of these circumstances doesn't actually bother us, that we can actually produce fruit in every season? In some ways, I feel like I've been more fruitful during this quarantine time than I've been in the last year combined. And I think it's because in this time and the circumstances, I've laid aside some other stuff that was really busy so that I could plug more deeply into him. And then because I've plugged more deeply into him, I've become more productive and more fruitful in the things that I'm called to do. And the invitation is there for you as well. He loves you and he wants something for you. Anywhere you don't have hope, Jesus is not at the center of it. So it's time to plug into him as the center of your hope. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, and we're going to wrap it up here in a second. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let me read that again. In fact, right where you're at, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up with me. I want you to grab your Bibles with me, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, and I want you to read this with me, and I want this to become a declaration in your home, because what you're going to be doing is you're going to begin to say, this is how I reconnect to God as my hope, okay? It comes through the confession. Okay, you ready? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, if you're there, say I am. Okay, let's read this together. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Read it again. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. One more time. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope in Jesus without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You have a reason to be faithful because he is faithful, and you have a reason to have hope because he's faithful. And he promised you, and he always does what he says he's going to do. He always fulfills his promises. And his agenda is always the best agenda. And so what I just want to challenge you in this season. Okay, I hope you receive me as I'm trying to be in this moment as a spiritual father, or maybe it's a coach that's wanting to encourage you. But it's time to stop giving voice to doubt. It's time to stop giving voice. It's time to stop confessing our fears. It's time to stop confessing our anxieties. And it's time to start confessing our hope in Jesus Christ over those areas and those circumstances that would bring anxiety normally. It's not that we can't say, hey, this is what's bugging me. Here's what we have to do. Here's what's bugging me, but my hope is in Him who can transform this situation right now. My hope is in Him. My hope is in Him. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. So use your faith to connect into, see God for who He really is, securely grabbing a hold of the promise deed of His character and His nature. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and this is a really good verse, 11 through 14. This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us. However, if we are unfaithful, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny who He is. This is so good. If we're unfaithful, if we've wandered, if we've moved to the side, He always remains faithful to you because He cannot deny who He is. You know who He is? The faithful one. He has greater faith in you than you may have in yourself right now. So why don't you move into this place of hope and the faith that Jesus has about who He is and who He wants to be inside of your life. 2 Corinthians 3:12. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness. The reason for this training is so that you can step and become boldly an ambassador of hope. You can walk back into your place of employment. You can walk into your neighborhood, your circumstances there where you're at, you're living. And you can begin to be very bold in presenting hope to people and be bold about it. When people start to say, I don't know what's going to happen, you can say, I know the one that does. Let me pray for you. And you release hope. Release hope. Release hope. It brings people into an invitation. And it goes back to that very first verse that we read. I was going to read all of Colossians 1, but the Lord said, no, not today. So look at that in your Bibles, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. God wants to make known among the unbelieving world, the Gentiles, the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here's what I want you to do this morning. He cannot make it known to the unbelieving world if you haven't received it for yourself. So I want you to read this verse and say, God wants me to know for certain the glorious wealth of this mystery that is Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Anywhere I don't have hope, invite Jesus into the center of it until it becomes hope. Until you find hope for that circumstance, you invite Jesus, you press Him, press into Him in relationship, and He's going to bring radical transformation to your life. Let me pray for you right now. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. I just declare that Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in Him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I declare that everyone will be filled with You, the God of hope, that You will fill us with all joy, all peace as we believe in You so that we may overflow with hope by the power of Your Spirit within us. And we declare that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave is the same Spirit that swells up hope inside of us right now. I just speak over every hopeless circumstance and situation right now that people are facing. And I declare right now, if it's not good, it's not the end. It's time to arise in hope. It's time to put your confident expectation that God is who he says he is, that he will do what he says he's going to do, and that your circumstance changing is not the determination of his goodness. He is the determination of his goodness, his character is, so that your circumstance can come underneath the weight of the glory of his goodness. And I just thank you, God, that you're transforming us so that we may be ambassadors, so that as our country reopens, as the world reopens, the economy reopens. Lord, I just pray right now for economic strategies, Lord God. Lord, you told me at the very beginning of this whole quarantine point that it was going to be like when you brought the Hebrews through the desert on their way to the promised land, and that your desire was to bring out the slavery out of them so that you could fill them with a people who would confidently hope and expect and trust in you for provision, trust in you for protection, trust in you for direction, Lord God. I just say that promise, Lord God, is still for us today. That during this time, as we place our hope inside of you, as I see us coming upon the promised land, I see the river that we're going to have to cross to come into the promised land, that there is a point that's coming, Lord. Lord, let us take advantage right now, this time where you are guiding us by your Spirit, Lord God, where you're providing for us by your hand, Lord God, that you're causing things to be sustained, that our clothes aren't wearing out, that we're not growing weary, that we're not growing tired, Lord God. Let us so place our hope in you that as we enter into the promised land, that we can actually bring hope to the world so that the world would be covered by the glory of your hope. May your kingdom come and your will be done in us and through us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Hey guys, I love you so very much. I'm so grateful for you to be able to connect with you. I'm looking forward to what God has. Remember, today, be an ambassador of hope. And this week, you're going to see a promise fulfilled. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.